I fell coming up those steps, would y'all laugh at me? Yes. You know, they're not the same size, so it makes me very nervous. You know what I mean? So, and y'all said you'd laugh at me. I'm a little offended by that, okay? So, amen. Well, good morning, church, and I'm very glad to be here. And if Brother Steve says I am one of his favorites, he is one of ours as well, and mine, let me just say, but a good friend of our church. And, man, we are so excited about the National Old Time Youth Rally. And our church is coming together and doing youth rallies together in just a couple of weeks there in Hickory. And I hope that you're going to be a real part of it. We're excited to work with your church. I'm excited to work with your church, except for Brother David. Just saying. I mean, I can't lie, you know, right before I preach here. So I love Brother David, love his family. And so just excited about what God's going to do. It's been quite a meeting the last couple of times we've done it. And I know you guys were a part of it last year, and we did it with Trinity back in 2016. And it's just been a great time doing it with Brother Steve, and excited that you guys are on board for it. So thank you. Thank you for sharing your youth rally with us, and I'm glad we can partner with you guys to be able to do that. So it is wonderful. Was anybody in the first service this morning? Anybody at all? A couple of you were. I talked about how I hate Starbucks coffee. Anybody else hate Starbucks coffee? Anybody like Starbucks coffee?
Lordy.
That's the rich people. That's Brother Dave. That's the people who make, that's the seven-figure people. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Y'all know Brother David making that money, you know? So, but yeah, we ended up, we've been on the road since last night. We're in Winston-Salem, and then we were coming here back on the road early this morning. Brother Charlie and my son Michael Lynn were with me. So we got on the road really early this morning. To come on down here. I'm very privileged to come down here, by the way. I don't say that like it was laborious. Very happy to be here. But I made fun of Starbucks coffee in the first service because I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I love drinking McDonald's coffee. That's what I love. Glory to God. $1.27, good to go, you know? And that is, it's much better than that price at Starbucks. It is ungodly. If we buy it, I mean, it's, They probably come from the same manufacturer as McDonald's. I'm just telling you. It's just the way that it is. So between services here, we've been on the road since early. I wanted to look over my notes. I'm preaching a different message than the first service this morning. So Ms. Rebecca said, look, you know, we don't have a lot of rooms. Why don't you just find somewhere to go sit down? So guess where we end up at? Starbucks. I got a blonde coffee, okay? So if that makes me sound unmanly, I am manly. I have a goatee. Does everybody see this? I am manly. Do you understand where I'm coming from on that, all right? But we ended up there, and he had said, Brother Charlie had said, let's go over to Starbucks. Let's go over there, and we'll get, and I was like, if you want to. I just made fun of it. We go over there. Guess what's in your Target/Starbucks parking lot? McDonald's. So I just sat there right at the window. We sat right at the window. I just licked the window the whole time, you know. And I walked up to the woman. I said, ma'am, I hate to say it. Y'all's coffee is nasty. No, I didn't say it that way. No, I didn't. I said, ma'am, I'm not a big fan of how strong your coffee is. Do you have something else? She was like, well, we have a blonde. And I was like, don't tell my wife. No, I'm just joking. I didn't say it that way. All right? So she said, well, I'm about to make a pot of this blonde coffee. I was like, do not tell anybody. I'm buying blonde coffee, okay? It makes me sound really. So we got it. And then as we're sitting there, this is no joke. As we're sitting there up against the window, Brother Charlie goes, do not look out the window. And I was like, can I? I didn't know if it was something absolutely terrible. But of course, he's staring at it, but he would. If it was sinful, he would stare at it. I'm so sorry. It's just the company I keep. Pray for him. I'm trying to win him to Christ, all right? He says, don't look out the window. And I was like, really? He's like, no, you're going to want to look out the window. And there was a McDonald's 18-wheeler pulling right past our window. And the whole back of it was a massive cup of coffee and McDonald's coffee beans. And I was like, man, I took that blonde and just poured it out on the floor. It was disgusting. So did not get McDonald's coffee. So I'm going to preach a hateful message and rip y'all's faces off this morning. We good with that? Is that all right? Amen. I'm glad to be here. Thank you. I'm excited about National Old Time Youth Rally. And I'm excited about what God's doing at BBC here. And God's doing something. Stay a part of it. Can I give you a warning? Y'all didn't respond. Can I give y'all a warning? Is that all right? Oh, yeah. All right. Devil don't like what's going on here. He's going to fight the church. Can I tell you how the devil fights the church? He fights the people of the church. Can I tell you how he usually fights the people of the church? In your home. You follow me on that? Because listen, if he gets you you husbands and wives to be spatting, and you people who run the Sunday school classes don't like each other, and there's not a spirit of unity. Everything that's going on here, I've seen churches that, man, right in the middle, there's a church that I preach at every year. The pastor, their wonderful pastor, great family that started that church, they have a massive building outside of their, I'll say smaller building, very nice building, but they were in the middle of a building project. And I'll just say it this way, the devil got in. And now for years, I mean for years, they have had this shell of a building. It's up. I mean, dried in up. And that's as far as it got. And that was because in the middle of it, I'll say this very loosely without giving you details, there was a church split between the pastor and the assistant pastor of a very good church. I mean, very good church. Now when you pull in that parking lot, this massive new building sits there with boards against the windows and everything else. And that was because, listen to me, I'm not faulting anybody. I love that church and I'm there every year. My wife and I do a married couples retreat for them at the end of April. We love that church. But that church right there, man, the devil came after him. Can I give you a warning? You know who the devil's coming after? This church that God's doing something. It is exciting to be here. But can I give you the best guidance that you need as a church right now? And that is this. You personally stay in the Word of God. Stay praying. Amen? Stay in the Word of God. Stay praying. Personally keep your walk close with the Lord. Because something's going on here. You're going to want to be a part of it. And the devil's not going to want you to be a part of it. He is coming after you. And the way that he's going to do that is he's going to attack your own. But great is he that's where? In me. Boy, God's bigger than the devil. You don't got to worry about it. I didn't tell you that like you need to worry about it. I mean, keep doing your devotions. Is that pretty plain and simple? Amen? Amen. All right. Keep doing your devotions. Stay close to God and allow God to continue to grow you spiritually. It's the best thing you can do because the devil does not like what's going on here by any means. Got a great pastor. Got a great pastor's wife. I can't say that enough. These staff guys that are running around here doing stuff in this church and everybody who's just busy for God. God is pleased, I believe, with this church and excited about what's going on. So I love you guys. Amen? Can I preach now? Is that all right? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Amen, amen. Give you a thought here this morning. Thank you for allowing us to come and be a part of today. I realize Brother Steve... Brother Steve gave the invite, and boy, very excited to get that. But I love you guys, and I know if it was something he was concerned this church would not want, he wouldn't have invited. So I personally thank the whole church for allowing us to come, and we're just excited about what God's going to do here today. We've been praying about it. So stay with me here. Proverbs chapter 3. Let me do this. I don't want to forget. Sometimes I get into the Bible reading, which is obviously pertinent to the preaching, but I also want to make sure that I pray. Let's pray and let's focus. Would you do this? Would you ask God to speak to you this morning? I believe he's going to do that. We've had worship. It's been a good, that's our part of worshiping God in the church service. But let's pray and ask God to speak to us this morning because I believe with all of my heart that he wants to do it. So as I pray, you ask the Lord to speak to you as well. Lord, I love you. God, may you meet with us now. You've already been here, God. And so would you just continue more of what we've already seen this morning? Thank you for the Sunday school hour. God, thank you for the first service this morning. Thank you for allowing Brother Steve and the other church members, Lord, to go and make the trip over there to Israel, to the Holy Land. God, make it come alive in them, Lord. Change them. Use it, God. May you just incorporate it into the ministries each of them are called to, Lord, and use it in a mighty way, Lord. And I love you now. Be with me as I preach, Lord. Fill me with your power, God. I can't do anything. God, I've not come to just fill a position, Lord. I've come to help this morning. And so may you help me as I try to encourage this church, Lord, please. God, help this mind, Lord, fill me. Lord, I don't want anything between you and I. Empty me of all self, Lord. Touch the hearer, Lord. Touch the hearer today. Bless the congregation, Lord, as I deliver your message. And I'm privileged to do it, Lord. And have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Proverbs chapter 3. Stay with me. We're going to read about 6 verses here. And we're going to go to some other places. But for the introduction, I want to stick here. And let's look at verse 1. It says, my son, forget not my law. Young person, I need you to realize something, and that is this. As I realize, as this charge is given, you see kind of the father-son relationship. Teenagers, you're learning a lot right now. Those of you that rode in on buses or young people that your parents brought you, God is giving you many, many truths that God is trying to teach you. Your first 18 years of life, I'll say, are very fundamental. From 18 to 27, you will make the most important decisions of your life. from 18 to 27, you do things like this. Pick a college. Young person, when you pick a college in that time, many times when you go to college, you pick some of your lifelong friends there at college. As a matter of fact, I'll just be honest with you. Most of my friends that I spent those high school year with, 9th through 12th grade, when I spent those high school years with them, I have lost and disconnected with many of them. I said to Michael and Charlie this morning, as we were pulling in, the best man, are you ready for this? The best man in my wedding lives in Simpsonville, and we're from Maryland. And that's because we've lost that contact with each other. I felt guilty. I didn't look him up until I was going to be preaching here this morning. But that's how much distance is between us. And I love him. I really, really do. Him and his wife. My wife introduced the two of them. As a matter of fact, he was dating my wife when I met her. I'm glad he's not here this morning. I can tell you all that detail. No joke. They broke up. My wife and him broke. My wife be like, shut up. Love you, honey. If you're watching live stream. All right. But they broke up on like a Thursday. I broke up with my little girlfriend. Didn't have much of a girlfriend there. But I broke up with her like the next day. And we were dating by the next Monday. And here we are today. It worked out wonderful for me. Bless his heart. But we went on. We were all friends. And it all worked out very, very well. And my wife introduced him to her friend at the time. And they're married today. And so it's very neat. But young person, I want you to understand is that those relationships right now that you're banking on, you're 15, you're 16, 17 years old, many of them, by the time they go to college, you will completely lose contact with them. You will. And then you'll move into your 18 to 22. And 18 to 22, you're picking college. Many of you may pick careers at that point, whatever it may be. 22 to 27, generally that's the age group where someone is getting married. That's where they're moving out. They're moving into the independent part of their lives. 18 to 27 is such a stage of life. And young person, I want to ask you something. How are you preparing for that? Do you know the people that get into financial debt, young person, in that time frame, and they're 40 years old trying to pay their way out still? And that's 18 to 27. How are you going to do it? Well, let me give you a piece. This is all free. This is not part of the message. We'll be out by 4 o'clock today, I promise, all right? And it says, my son, forget not my law. Learn the word of God. Understand the word of God. And don't forget it. This mind is incredible. Just how fast we wash it out. Not to mention this day and age that we live in, our addictions to our cell phones, man. If I left my cell phone somewhere the other day, this is no joke. Y'all pray for me. I preached on tribulation in the first message, and this was a real trial I went through. I left my cell phone at home and my iWatch died. I had no contact with anyone for about 30 minutes. Jacob, would you come to the piano, please? I went through it. It was crazy. I made it. By the strength of God, I got through that 30 minutes of my life. But man, how we are so absorbed with cell phones and just our lives. Here's the reason. I have cell phones. Brother Steve has a cell phone. Your pastor, we have cell phones. But I want you to know, I find myself, if I can be very honest with you, I find myself very drawn to that. And so what happens is this, is with just the takeover of our minds from social media and text messages and just that attention that you can get. Some of you remember growing up, no cell phones. The only attention you got from friends was when you were at school with them. And so then you would kind of go into your own world when you would get home. That's not the way that it is anymore. So the reason I stress that to you in this day and age, I tell you, number one, to be careful with that. But then number two, that word forget. You'll come and you'll hear a Sunday school lesson. You'll hear the man of God preach, whatever it may be. And then just as soon as you walk out here, man, it's checking Facebook and it's checking Instagram and all that. And very quickly, you know what that does? That washes out what you've just heard. And this is fundamental. And the Word of God says this. Listen to me. Talking about those that up to 18 years old, after 18 to 27 years old, and all you have going on in your life, let me give you a piece of guidance from the Word of God. Forget not my law. That instruction that God is trying to give you and trying to help you with that. Don't forget it. Read on. But let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace. Boy, listen to me. Length of days and life. That's good. Let me tell you, that word peace. Man, you can't buy peace. You tell me why the CEO, and I'm not here to attack him. Listen, I promise you, I'm not here to trash him by any means. But you tell me why the CEO of Amazon, his net worth is just billions and billions and billions. Yeah, he's divorcing his wife right now because he had a girlfriend on the side and that all just came out. Why would he need a girlfriend on the side? Was he not happy with his bank account? And again, I'm not being mean. Listen to me. You have so much wealth. And let me tell you what. In order to be happy, he went out and got a girlfriend. Because I'm here to tell you is this. You can't buy peace. And I hope that Bezos, I believe is his last name. I hope that Mr. Bezos finds the Lord. I hope God just continues to work on him, if he will. I hope he gets saved. I'm not here to attack him. Him and I are the same. We're both flesh and blood with a sin problem. But can I tell you what? It wouldn't matter if you had billions in the bank account. Wouldn't matter. You can't buy peace. Let me tell you what, lining up with the law of God, the rules of God, rules are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Lining up with that, listen to me, that will bring you, yes, length of days, long life, but it'll bring you peace, peace. A peace that no drug can give you. Listen to me, a peace that no bottle of alcohol can bring you. That was easy for me to say, Lord help us. But can I tell you what, there is nothing, you cannot find or buy peace outside of living for God. You can't do it. Read on. I'm getting somewhere. Look at verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. And I love those next two words. I could preach on that. And man, being a good Christian not only pleases God, but this world is looking for Christian attributes in the workplace. They're looking for Christian attributes in all areas of your life. Listen to me, in the business that I'm in, I love hiring Christians because they just have this good spirit about them. Let's have a good look. Let's have a good spirit. Let's smile. Let's show we're saved, man. We are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. So praise the Lord. So in God and man, with God and man, God will do that. Now let's look at verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. This is not easy. Listen to these statements. If I said in here this morning, everyone in here who is trusting the Lord with all of thine heart, raise your hand. Let me tell you what, both of my hands would stand by my side. You understand that? Trusting the Lord with all your heart, that is not easy, friends. Trusting the Lord with all thine heart, watch this, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Can I say this? I could just stay on these. When I've preached this message previously, I have to be careful because I could just dissect the four portions of these two verses, because there's so much there. But lean not to thine own understanding. Can I tell you what? Our understanding about things is commonly way off from what it actually is. God, this problem right here, this particular situation, this is going to be the one that gets me. No, it's not. God, this particular thing that I'm going through, God, this is going to be the thing that is the detriment of my home or some other area of your life. Friend, no, it's not. Lean not to thine own understanding. Listen to me, young person, adult. Our understanding many times says, hey, if I'll live like the world, I'll be happy. No, you won't. Let me say that again. Living in the world will not make you happy. But your understanding will say, boy, they make it look so good. The commercials make it look so good. The television makes it look so good. My friends at work make it look so good. Listen to me. Do not allow that thinking to affect your understanding of what life is about. Don't get to the end of this thing and have wasted it all. Live for God. Lean not to thy own understanding. Our understanding is commonly wrong. Here's our problem. We filter life through this flesh in the way that it's seen. And this flesh in our heart, the Bible says that our heart is what? Desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. And that affects how we see things and understand things. And we are commonly wrong. It doesn't work out. Lean not to thine own understanding. Look at verse 6. In all thy ways, and this is where I'm going to really focus the heart of this message. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he, watch this, he shall direct thy path. Look at that verse again. I know you've seen it many times. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Always, always, always focus towards God. Always. You say, Brother Jason, how do I do that? It's right here. Do you realize how easy God made this walking for him? Look, I'm here today to settle a little bit for you. Because if you think living for God is hard, it ain't. Good. This gentleman over here agrees with me. And thank you, Brother Jesse. Amen. The rest of you, this message is for you. Okay, I'm just kidding. All right, you're good. But can I tell you what? God has made this easy. He gave us the Word of God. And let me tell you what, young people, fall in love with this. Everything else will be fine. Well, I find it boring a little bit. Can I say this to you? Listen to me. I am with you. Sometimes, man, I just love digging into Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And, man, just diving into these pieces. I'm no Bible scholar like Brother Steve and my pastor, Brother Tony. Listen, man, I'm not a Bible scholar like them. Sometimes, man, you get into the prophets. And, man, as you're digging through those books, sometimes this flesh is just thinking, why are we doing this? Well, can I ask you something? Every time you go eat, every breakfast, every lunch, and every dinner, every time you go eat, are you headed out to an Outback Steakhouse? No. Sometimes are you at home eating that broccoli as you put it in your mouth? Oh, you husbands, honey, this is delicious. You're drowning it in ranch. That's what my kids do. You got ranch? Man, they just pour ranch on everything. Let me tell you what. Does ranch make everything taste good? I can't stand it. I'm from the north. You know what we do? If you're from the north, what do you put on everything? Not ranch, not hot sauce. Y'all off. Where did y'all grow up in the north? Ketchup. Thank you. God bless you. That's exactly right. We put ketchup on our ketchup. It's good. But let me tell you what. It's not how we live life. You wake up in the morning. Look here. Do you wake up in the morning and, man, you just feel so good about going to work? You're so excited. So, boom, you drive out the door. No, we drag ourselves there because, man, we got to pay the bills, man. Somebody got around here. Bless you into that socialism stuff, man. You work and it benefits me. Praise God. Man, feel the burn. You know what I'm saying? Some of you got what I just said. Some of you didn't. I went all political on you. I'm making y'all nervous, all right? All right, but what I'm here to say is this, is why do we not treat, watch, where am I going with this? Why do we not treat life, I only go to work when I'm excited about work. Do you know how long ago my wife would have walked out on me if she only would have loved me when it was exciting to love me? Look at me. Lord, help us. Could you imagine rolling over every morning to this? Thank you. No comment was needed there, whoever that was. That was rhetorical. Look, I tell you what, listen to me. We don't drive on life when it only feels good, when it only is exciting. You know what we do? We drive on sometimes out of necessity, out of wanting to move forward. Am I right? Amen. Hear me this morning, church. Sometimes we do that. Some bits and pieces of this Word of God, it is not always appealing to the flesh, but it is necessary to life and growing in God. And so I'm here to tell you is this, is that every time I understand that you may not always feel excited about coming to church, you may not always feel excited about reading the Word of God, you may not, but can I say this? That Word of God is vital to your walk with God. Vital. Air is necessary for you to live. A heartbeat is necessary for you to live. Food is necessary. Water is necessary. And for every Christian, the Word of God is necessary. Necessary, not optional, required to grow in God. And you know what we do? Many times you walk away from it. And I'm here to tell you, as Christian, I encourage you, have a walk with God. Read your Bible. Pray. Just stay with God. And listen to me. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And what? He'll direct thy paths. He'll direct thy paths. A number of years ago, 5 years ago, my wife and I, a little bit before that, I guess 6, 7 years ago, we decided that we wanted to build a house. Lord help us, I hate talking about it. Is there any contractors in here to build houses? Anybody at all? Good, good. I can trash you guys, man. No, I'm just kidding. I'm good. But man, five years ago or so, well, we built the house back in, I guess, 2012, 2013. But before that, we decided what we were going to do is the Lord had blessed us, man, when we moved from Washington, D.C. area there, Maryland. We moved down to Numana in 2004. God had blessed us. We bought a double wide that it was a repo And so we had gone and we bought that, and God bless us, just an incredible price on that thing. We got it for about nothing, and then we fixed that up and lived there for a number of years. We decided after a good 10 years or so that we wanted to sell that and begin to build. We had bought some property, and we were excited about doing it. So I said to my wife, I said, look, we have, from one end of the house, we had added hardwood floors. We had painted the walls. The house was really bad when we bought it. Literally, the doors had just been left open, and kids from the neighborhood had gone in and out. Animals living in there. So we paid a guy. He came in, cleaned it out for us. My wife does interior decorating. So, man, just beautiful paint on the wall and pictures. And we just had really fixed up this house. And so we were getting ready to put it on the market and get ready to build. And the one thing that we had really not touched much, we had painted the cabinets and stuff, but we hadn't put in a lot of attention into the kitchen. And so I said, babe, why don't we do this? We had a friend who's a very close family member to us. We said, I said, well, why don't we see if Dave will come over and help us put some tile in the kitchen on the countertops. And then we were going to put some hardy board on the cabinets some, and just make it look really, really nice in there. And I said, because man, a lot of people these days, they're looking for a nice kitchen when they're buying a house, and really it had been pretty run down. She said, all right, let's do it. So I talked to Dave, and so he came over one day, and man, we went through the kitchen, measured, and he told me exactly what he needed at Lowe's, and he said, I need you to buy this much tile, pick out your tile, whatever you want, and just gave me all the details that he needed, all the things he needed in order to do the tile. So I went to Lowe's and I bought the stuff. And so we come home, and we had planned on, I bought it on like a Tuesday. He comes over on a Thursday night, and we worked really late that night. Has anybody done tile work before? That is miserable. I cannot stand it. I'd rather be the guy in there, you know, drinking my McDonald's coffee and Snickers and, you know, praying for him or something. I don't know. But we hung out in the kitchen there. We did it for hours. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and in the middle of the kitchen was an island, and we hadn't touched it yet. And so I said, Dave, I said, look, why don't we just call it a night? He's a very busy man. He's a contractor, builds very nice houses out on our lake there on Lake James, there in our county. And he said, well, look, I've got a busy couple of weeks. Can we just hang in here and finish this? I said, absolutely. He was doing it for free for us, just being a blessing. I said, let's finish up tonight. So he comes over to the island there in the middle of the kitchen. And I said to him, I said, which side of the island here do we need to start on? And this is my pure ignorance. I don't do a lot of this stuff by any means. I work on computers is what I do. I said, do we start on the right-hand side or the left-hand side of this island? Some of you know what the answer was there. He goes, oh, no, no, no. He said, what we're going to do is we're going to measure right to left. Right to left. That's your right, my left. Forget it. All right. So right to left. All right. And then he said top to bottom. And he said, what we're going to do is we'll start right in the center of the island. And here's the statement he made. And it was like the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this. He said, because if we get the center lined up, he said, everything else perfectly falls into place. And do you know what? I made a statement about 5 minutes ago, and I said this. I said, living for God is not as hard as we make it. And can I say this? If we'll make God the center of our life, that King James Bible, listen to me, that King James Bible, if we continue to read our Bible and we pray, look here, the rest of the details of your life will come together. That kind of simplifies life. Watch this. God forbid I walk out on my marriage. God forbid I walk out on my children. I hate even saying that. I don't ever want to do that to my home. But God forbid I ever do something like that. Do you realize my wife, Trisha, does not have to fall apart. What are we going to do? That answer comes very quickly, and here's the answer. Just keep living for God. Just keep standing forward. What do? Sunday morning, take those babies to Sunday school. That's what you do. Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, you're in church. Or 8:30 for you guys. Or you guys have a 5:30 service start next week. Did y'all know that on Sunday morning? I'm joking. Listen to me. Just keep staying towards God. That's all she would need to do. Just stay in track with God. What do I do? Just keep those babies in church. What do I do? Just keep reading the Word of God. We have this problem in our life. It's going to destroy our home. No, it's not. Listen to me. Just stay. See, that is your understanding. That is you interpreting the circumstances. God is not bound by circumstances. God is all powerful this morning. He is not bound by the problems that we have in life. He's not worried about our problems. He does not have a problem today that is too big for him. So the answer to all our problems is keep him the center. Everything else lines up. Because that's what the Bible says, that he will direct our path. He will direct our path. God will take care of our homes. I lost my job this week. Jason, what do I do? I don't know. Just keep coming to church. Keep reading your Bible. You'll be fine. See, doesn't that simplify things? I have a teenager that, man, he's just living for God. We want our teenagers to live for God. Lord, help us. I've got a teenager that's living in the world, running from God. I've tried to pour my life into that young person. They've turned around from my home, and they've left. And I'm so discouraged. Parent, I'm here to encourage you. Just keep making God the center of your life. Everything else will line up. By the way, that young person that may be living for themselves, they have the same thing you have. They have the same thing you have, and they have a choice of whether or not they're going to live under the blessings of God or live for the world. It's up to them. Can I tell you what our responsibility is? Our responsibility is to continue to direct them towards God. Follow me this morning. Listen to me. We just keep loving on that young person. Keep showing them the Lord. Don't quit being faithful. If they're no longer faithful, you keep showing them what it is to live in the blessings of God. You know why? Because you're making God the center of your life. You want to show them that they can be the center. It'll all line up. It'll be fine. It'll be all right. God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of your home. God's going to take care of your family. God's going to take care of your finances. God's going to take care of all of those things. If you do that, let me give you two things this morning. First thing is this, is if you continue to make God the center of your life, here's what you'll start to see, that there will be a measure of growth in your life. Let me say this again. There is a measure of growth in your life. Can I tell you what? If you want to see a big God, I'm telling you, look, here, I've learned this. If I want to see, let me say it this way. The best way to see how big God is, go through something big. Can I say that again? The best way to see how big God is to go through big problems and see just how big he can be in those big problems. And what God is doing is many times he's taking us through these things because he is trying to mature us. He is allowing some things to happen. God could take care of it, but what he says is, I'm going to bring, rather than just taking that thing away from you, I'm going to take you through it. Because as I take you through it, what you'll start seeing is in that fog and in that darkness is that it was my big hand, my loving hand, my caring hand, my faithful hand that brought you through that darkness, because the weaker that you are, the stronger that I'll be in your life. And what God is trying to do is he is trying to mature us. He is trying to grow us in him. Can I tell you what? If you've been saved 20 years, you should not be ready to quit on God every time a problem comes up. Can I say that again? If you've been saved 20 years, 30 years, I was saved when I was a five-year-old little boy. Here I am 40. 40 is so old, by the way. Don't laugh at me. You're going to get there one day, boy. I'm just kidding. I'm good. He's ugly, by the way. Do you like him? No, I'm just kidding. No, all right. I love putting teenagers on the spot. Y'all want to sit up on the stage together? We would love it personally. Okay, I'll stop. All right. What was I talking about? I don't even know where I was going with that. All right. 20 years. Thank you so much. You reeled me back in. I really was thinking, where was I going with that? All right. But can I tell you, if I've been saved 20 years, I should not be ready to quit on God every couple of weeks. Knock at the front door. Open it up. There's Miss Rebecca. There's Brother Steve. How are you? We haven't seen you in church in a couple of weeks. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've been going through it. You going through it's real, by the way. I'm making fun of your problems. All of us want to quit in the middle of those trials and storms. I battle it. I don't know about you, but I'm being real with you this morning. Sometimes I'm thinking, God, where are you in the middle of this thing? But God says this. God says in the middle of that thing, I'm trying to show you how big you are because I'm trying to grow you up. I'm trying to mature you. And after all these years of being saved, some of you walked the aisle. Some of you, your mom and dad led you to the Lord sitting on your living room couch when you were just a small child. Some of you have been saved now a number of years. Brother Steve and Miss Rebecca or some other great Christian at this church shouldn't have to knock on your door. We ain't seen you in a couple weeks. When you coming back? You doing all right? I know you've been going through it. Well, I just don't know what God's doing. I'm not mocking you or making fun of you this morning, but I'm just trying to tell you, it shouldn't be that way. I ain't your pastor. My pastor's taught me, don't go into other churches and try to fix everything. And I don't know of any problems here, so I'm trying to be careful. But can I say it this way? Y'all don't want to kick me out after I say this. I'm not about to cuss. I'll cuss if y'all want me to, but I'm not. Only if you ask. Can I say it with these two words? Grow up. My daughter last night, 10:30, we got back from Winston-Salem with the church. I unload the Greyhound bus. We get all the teams off. We get in the car, and she's just crying. You won't let me play your cell phone. Come on, man. That's what we sound like to God sometimes. You won't fix my financial problem. And God's saying, have I ever let you go under? Have you ever missed a meal? Has it ever been that I have not taken care of those problems? And if, man, listen to me. I understand. You say, yes, I may have missed a meal. Can I say it this way? But God brought you to this moment. Amen? And you may have gotten to lunchtime and thought, I don't even know where lunch is coming from. But ain't it amazing you had supper? And God took care of that. And I'm not here to make light of it, but I do want to say this, is that we should grow up. We should be able to measure our spiritual growth. Can you go really fast? I've got to go, all right? I don't mean I got to go home. Go to Hebrews, quick. Go, go, go. Go with me. Hebrews chapter 5. Let me show you this so quickly. Maybe I'll just get to this point this morning. I see it's already noon. Hebrews chapter 5. Maybe I'll just get here and give you my second point. Just to write it down for you note takers. Hebrews chapter 11. Good set of verses here. They help me. It helps remind me I'm in Hebrews 11. I was thinking that is Hebrews chapter 5. Please forgive me. If I said Hebrews 11, just laugh at me. You're good, all right? I've already yelled at you and told you to grow up, so y'all can laugh at me, all right? Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12, if you would. It says this. I visit this often just because I don't know about y'all, but I just feel so spiritually immature in God sometimes. You ever get there? I do. Man, I just think, why do I act like this sometimes? I'm the biggest baby sometimes. And that's where God brings me to this chapter. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12. For the time, ye ought to be teachers. Listen to me. Your life should be a representation of God's goodness to the world. Amen? Was that a pretty clear statement? Amen? Your life should be a representation to this world of God's goodness. When you go out to that job in that workplace, you should be showing this lost world what a big God has saved you and is taking care of you. Smile on your face, ready to brag. Man, those chats the water cooler, whatever they call it. All right, but as you're getting your drink, all right, as you're doing that in the office, as you have those conversations with your coworkers, that should be about how good God has been to you, to where all the way it brings it to the point where it's like, yeah, what I talk about with her, I don't talk about with her. She goes to church and loves God. Two different conversations. Can I tell you what that is? That's that God is taking you and making you a teacher. Do you follow me? Your life should be teaching others what it is in this world to be a Christian. They should see light in you when their life is just full of darkness. But when they're going through it, listen to me, they can't wait for Monday to get around you in the office. Why? Because there's just something about you. I like being around you. What is it about you? And that's this. You're a teacher. You've taught them what it is to live for God and the blessings of living in God. So watch this. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you. What's that next word? Again. Everybody say again. Amen. God, why are you taking me through this again? Lord, why am I battling this problem? God, why am I having this issue in my life? Well, I don't have the answers for all of that, first of all, okay? If you come to me tonight and say, Brother Jason, I'm going back through this. There's many levels. Listen to me carefully. There are many levels of why God allows us to go through things. But many times, and this is where you can look in your own life, and this is between you and God, if you are feeling a distance from God because you're not reading the Word of God, you're not living for God, if that's it, what you're going to find is this cycle that God takes you through. And that is where God says, you've been saved 10 years now. You've been saved 15 years now. You've been saved 20 years now. And what I'm having to do is I'm taking you back through some things, because when you should be teaching others what it is to stay faithful, and when you should be teaching others what it is to live for God, I'm having to teach you, what's that word with the A again? Again, I said it. Did you hear that? Okay, that was funny. All right. Again and again. And you know why that is? They go right, goes right to the point. Watch this. Read on in that verse 12. Again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. That's God taking you back through, having to learn the, watch this, ABCs, 1, 2, 3s of Christianity. You follow me on that? God is having to take you back through and teaching you the fundamentals like this. You should not cuss anymore. Amen? Good. One person agrees with me on that, all right? We should not cuss anymore. Amen. We should not watch movies with filth in it. Amen. Amen. We should be different at the workplace. We should have a backbone and guts at the workplace that when someone says that filthy joke, we just feel like we got to blend in and laugh because you ain't got no guts about you. Grow up. Grow up. If you want to know if you are making God the center of your life, then you should be able to measure spiritual growth. Don't you love that? I love the testimonies. I love the testimonies of like people that get saved and they go out in the parking lot and they're so stirred up that they're like, I'm saved, and blankety blank, they run off their mouth. You know, they don't know any better. But 15 years down the road, you shouldn't be blankety blanket in the parking lot on the way home because the devil's attacking you from what God just did in the church house. You follow me on that? We should grow up. And God is taking us through those things sometimes because we're not getting the first principles of the oracles of God. What does that mean? You ain't learned the basics of what living for God is. You quit every couple of days. That's a whole lot of wording just to say, quit quitting on God, grow up. Now watch, he says it. Don't just take my word for it. Let's read on. Look at verse 13. I told you I'm probably seeing right here a couple minutes after 12. We're doing well. Look at verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a what? Babe. That's not you 17-year-old boys that think you look so good with your cool hair. You understand? I'm a babe. I know you looked in the mirror and said, I'm a babe this morning. I get it. But you ain't, them girls think you ugly, boy. You are. Especially you right there. No, I'm just kidding. You good looking kid. But can I tell you what? Listen to me. Is we should not still be baby Christians. Our newest child that we just got here a couple of months ago, our foster child, she's 4 months old right now. I didn't bring her home. We had her. We got her from the hospital. She's 48 hours old. Her mom is a wonderful young lady, 31 years old. And has a drug problem. And this is the fourth of her children that we've had. We brought her home, the name that we've given her. She has a different name, but we've named her Winter Rose is the name that we've given her. Paperwork's already been signed. We'll be adopting her probably later on this year. But when we brought little Winter home from the hospital at 48 hours, can I tell you what? I didn't go in the kitchen and cook up a nice fatty steak. Oh, I probably did for me. For me, I probably did. Let's celebrate. We got a new baby. But I didn't go in the kitchen and cook her up a nice steak and some mashed potatoes. We were going for lunch, by the way. I'm getting excited about it right now. But I didn't do that. Can I tell you what I did? She's a baby. I had to get that young lady, I had to get our little girl a bottle. You understand? Can I say it this way? Because she couldn't handle the meat. And some of us are moaning and complaining to God, saying, God, I want the meat of life. I want all this goodness and I want all this. And God's saying, if I bless you too much, you'll get the Israelites with the perfect picture of this. Now, God wants to bless your life. Now follow me on this. God wants to do it. But some of us, man, we just want to jump out into what Christian so-and-so has and what they have. God's still growing you up. God's not being mean. God's trying to teach you the first principles of His Word. And listen to me. God is giving us the milk right now to grow us. But can I just be honest with you? I shouldn't be 20 years saved and still on the milk. But can I tell you what? I'd keep my little girl on that milk, and I will. She's 4 months old. I haven't moved on to something yet. We haven't moved on to solid foods yet. Why? She can only handle the milk. And God is throttling some of our lives right now, and we think God's being mean to us. And God says, I'm just trying to show you the first principles of who I am, the basics, the fundamentals. You know what we're doing? We're not growing. Can I tell you what? I did turn, all joking aside, a couple months ago, I turned 40. And man, life's going. I'll be 50. I'll be 60. And man, I want to grow in God to the point that when I'm 60, I'm not looking back and saying, I've got no measurement of growth. Been saved since I was a 5-year-old little boy, and I'm 60 years old. And watch this. How do I measure whether or not? Listen, I want to make this critically basic this morning so you understand it. Test 101 in Christianity. A Christian should read the Word of God. And if this morning, listen to me, this morning, this is not pointing across the aisle, you looking at people around you and trying to say, I'm comparing myself to them or them. Bible says we're unwise to do that. So I want to say this to you. This is about you right now. And if you have been saved 30 or 40 years in your Christian walk right now, but you don't even read the Word of God yourself, you rely on the preacher to give it to you and the Sunday school teacher to give it to you. Can I tell you what you are? You are a baby Christian. Now, I love you. I'm not being mean to you this morning. But it is generally those Christians that are not making God. I need to scratch that statement. It is those Christians that are not making God the center of their life. And guess what? Usually the rest of the details ain't lining up. You say, why? Because you're leaning to your own understanding. You haven't memorized the Word of God. You don't know where to go. Oh, man, there was a guy in the Bible, and David, Moses, man, he stood outside of some walls, and they fell down in some city. God's trying to give you an illustration of Joshua and Jericho and all of these things, and look, you ain't learned them. So when you're facing walls in your life, you can't even refer back to Joshua and all that God did for him. Why? Because you're not lining up the Word of God first thing in your day or last thing in your day. Look, I've learned this. If you got a baby in your home, you ain't reading your Bible first thing in the morning. I will tell you that much. I love it. That's me and her time, to be honest with you. She'll get up about 6 o'clock. I love that time. And she is the calmest, chillest baby we've ever had. I mean, I guess God knew I'd lose my mind at 40 years old if I had a newborn baby running around or in that house. She ain't running around yet. But in that house, probably I'd lose my mind. She's so chill, and I'll sit there and read my Bible, drink my coffee. She'll sit there, and man, she'll just play and talk. Got her little Minnie Mouse chair, and she'll sit there already at 4 months. Man, she'll just sit there and slap those little toys that hang down. But can I tell you, listen to me. My spiritual walk should not be a comparison that child that sits there in goo-goos and ga-gas and cries every time she has a wet diaper. But who I am spiritually for God. That I just want to quit on the Lord. Can I say this? If you have not grown to the point in your walk with God, where you've even started to make the Word of God a primary focus somewhere at some point of your day, then can I tell you what? The Bible will refer to you as a four-letter word, B-A-B-E, babe. Let me tell you what, God may continue to take you through some things so that He can teach you. I don't want you relying on your understanding. I want you calling me on the cell phone. I'm just kidding, all right? I want you to come to me. I want you to start coming to me. I want you to focus on me. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed. Where's your mind? We live in a day and age, man. Oh, my Lord. We live in a day and age where unless it's jumping off of a screen, man, unless it's running across the house, unless it's just every color, man, the new iPhone's got all this liquid something technology and it looks so amazing. So unless life is just this poppy colors and everything else, well, God's going to throw it down on black and white and say, I've got every answer right here. You want it? You want it? No poppy colors, no nothing. Just want to tell you, I love you. Just want to tell you I love you. Will you set all of that aside? Just take a moment while I tell you I love you. And there in your life today, you should be able to measure the growth in your life from the moment you got saved to where you are now. And there should be you growing up in God. You should not still be out of the Word of God. You should be in the Word of God. You should not still look at your life and have no prayer life. You should have a prayer life. Listen to me. The day and age that we live in, man, we've got resources. Jacob, we will have no excuse before God. We don't need to go find, I mean this with all my heart. Listen to me, I'm not being funny saying this. We don't need to go find some inkwell and some feather with a little thing on the end of it so that I can write down and have enough money to buy a little bit of paper to write down a prayer sheet. You kidding me? We got a cell phone. Put yourself a prayer list on that cell phone and start praying over it. I don't got time. You got plenty of time. You've got to commute to work. Get your little cell phone out. We use it for GPS and everything else. Put it right there and start praying for your wife. Start praying for your husband. Turn off the radio. Find some point in your day. I feel busy too. We all do. Don't get me wrong. I've got a list of our teenagers right next to my desk. Between phone calls, I start praying for our teenagers. I'm not trying to take away from time on your face before God. That is not, we need that and that's necessary. Our mind is on all kinds of stuff. Pause for a moment and start praying for mama as she's fighting through that cancer. And start asking God for wisdom as you make those decisions with your business. Well, I just don't got time to pray about it. I'm putting in 16 hours a day at the business. First of all, be careful. Don't lose your family over that business. But then second of all, if you start praying about that thing, tell you what, you've got so much time to pray for stuff, it's ridiculous. Some of you in here, you've got to commute to work. By the time you go to and from, you've sat by yourself for an hour. And we will listen to that news radio for an hour. Just think, you could have taken that hour and prayed for a couple of people in this church. Even 5 minutes of that hour. We've got so much alone time in our lives, it's crazy. Find some time and start incorporating that prayer into life. Why? Because you want all the fringe details of life to line up. You want that? Some of you, it's a juggling act in your life. I'm just trying to keep it together. And God says, would you just drop that, make me the center of your life? Grow up a little bit. Start trusting me. Quit leaning to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge me. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. How are you going through that? I'm going through it with God. How are you dealing with that problem? I'm dealing with it with, let me give you a couple of Bible verses. I've been memorizing. Here's this one and this one. These are the ones that I'm going through. I'm not very good at memorizing Bible verses. How many times a day do you think you look at the lock screen of your phone just to check the time? How many times a day do you think we die? I do it all the time. Thank you very much. If not 2 million. Can I tell you what? How many times do we look at the face of our watch? Just think. We put pictures all the time on those things. Am I right? What if we just put one Bible verse a week on that phone? And every time we looked at that clock, boom, there's that Bible verse. Why are you doing that? Why would you take the time to take that picture of you and your friends that are on the front of your phone and change it to a Bible verse? Why? Because, man, I need to grow up a little bit. I need to make God more the center of my life. Think about ways to incorporate God more into your realm of life. You'll start noticing something. Your mind will start staying on Him. Come on, Jim. You shut those Bibles up here. I'm done. There'll be a measure of growth. If you're making God, I'll give you that only point this morning. I'm sorry to get my other ones. Man, if you want God to be the center of your life, and let me say it this way. If you are making God the center of your life, then there will be measurable growth in your life. Since I've hammered this point, I'll say this, and then I'm done. We'll have an altar call. I want you to be thinking right now. What do you need to talk to God about this morning? What do you need to talk to God about this morning? What do you need to talk? What's that problem that you've been trying to fix? And you sure ain't been doing very well with it. And it's time to just say, God, here's that problem. I'm going to make you the center, not this problem. This when my alarm goes off at 6 o'clock every morning, this is what I start thinking about. You know what it is, God. Talk to God about it. Would you bring that problem to today that you've made the center of your life? Kind of revolves, your whole day revolves around that issue or those set of issues. Would you bring that problem to God this morning? If I was to walk out my front door, my sons, the only reason I had sons is so that they'll mow my yard and take out the trash. I hate taking out the trash. But if they just got done mowing that yard, and I was to stare at it, and I was to look, I wouldn't see it move, budge, no growth. If I come back after about a week, watch this. Some time has gone by. The sun has set and the moon has risen. And it has set and the sun has come back. And some days down the road, there'll be growth there. And I want you to understand this statement about growth. I have more of a lesson that I preach on this couple of verses right here. And I use it in this message. But I want you to understand this is, you don't need to walk out of here today feeling discouraged. This was God trying to help you this morning so that you realize that you can grow in Him. But I want you to understand this, is this thing of growth is not a horse race, man. Boom, out of the gate and we all go. Who can grow up the fastest? Don't worry about that. Thank God my level of growth doesn't have to be David's level of growth. Because this is a giant for God right here. And I don't got to look at myself. You're laughing. He doesn't think you're a giant right there. All right, but this is a giant for God and loves the teenagers of this church. I mean that with all my heart. And I don't need to compare my walk with God with him and his wife. Listen to me. God's using them. God's doing great things with them in this church. And I don't need to sit in Marion, North Carolina thinking I'll never be a youth worker like them. Can I make this statement? Just like with that grass, growth is slow, but it is measurable over time. So today you don't need to go home and go online and figure out how to do that 30-day through the Bible reading. God lays that on your heart, do it. I encourage you. If you've never done it, it takes about 2.5-3 hours a day. But can I say this much? And we all... We all probably spend more than 2-3 hours a day on our cell phones, just telling you. But can I say this to you? Is today God may just want you to leave this place between services today just to sit down 5-10 minutes. What's today's date? March 3rd? If you haven't read God's Word in a while, can I give you a very basic challenge? Very basic. Very basic. But if you haven't read the Word of God today, Proverbs chapter 3 here on March 3rd would be a great one for you to read. A proverb a day ain't a bad thing. And tomorrow you could read Proverbs chapter 4. It's a start. Just think about where you'll be in about 6 months. Maybe you'll be reading a proverb a day and also one of the Gospels a day. Reading Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2. Just maybe 10 to 12 minutes a day. And then in a couple of years from now, you're going to look back and you say, got me one of those one-year Bibles. And in 2021, you'll not believe this, Brother Steve, I read all the way through my Bible. That doesn't need to start today necessarily. If God lays that on your heart, please. I'm not trying to deter anyone from jumping out of the gate. But I would just say this. Just start somewhere today. What you'll find is some suns will set, some moons will rise. Go back down and some days will pass. And you'll be able to look back and there's measurable growth in God. Lord, I love you. Thank you that we can grow in you. Thank you that we can grow in you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you gave us the Word of God that we can make the center point of our lives. God, that sure simplifies how to do things. And I love you this morning. God, I have not meant to be hateful. If telling them to grow up or anything else, God, was out of line, I didn't mean to do that. I mean that, Lord. I hope that I've been helpful. I pray that you bless Bible Baptist this morning. Church, no one looking around. No one looking around. But if you've got some things in your life, I'm not, I would love for this altar to be flooded. I promise you. I love seeing a full altar. I just do. As a preacher, I think that that's a preacher's desire. But I don't know where this message hits you. But if God revealed some things this morning that you feel like you need to come down and talk, look, this family, this ain't everybody that gets out of the pew today is someone who's just wrong with God and not right and, man, so far from God. No, would you do this? Would you slip out of that pew as Jacob sings? Would you come down and say, God, here's the thing I need help with. God, here's the thing that's been consuming me. And God, I want to make you the center of it. I want to make you the center of it. I want you to help me with this thing. I'm tired of it making my day what it is and building my frustrations and making me feel weak when you're stronger than this thing. God, would you please help me with this and become the center of not just this problem, but God, my life. Some of you may need to come this morning and just, God, renew. Church member, renew that Bible reading, that prayer life, whatever it may be. Jacob's going to sing. This altar's open. If you need to come, would you come? Would you come? You be the one to come.